Welcome to Lessons in Leadership. Steve Adubato, Mary Gamba. Everything you ever wanted or needed to know about youth sports, you're about to find out now. Mary, tell people why.
It is because we have a wonderful guest. I'm so excited, Mike Duhaime. He is the president of Cranford Hockey Club. He also happens to be in his day job, the CEO of MAD Global Strategy. But Mike is here today to talk about his role with the hockey club and that connection, that all-important connection between sports and leadership.
Mike has also run presidential campaigns, gubernatorial campaigns at MAD Global. He also does, his firm does a lot of coaching and consulting at Hackensack Meridian Health, where we're good partners there as well. Good to see you, my friend.
Great to see you both as well. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. And it's so much more fun to talk hockey than like politics.
Oh, yeah. Or
anything. Okay. All right. Describe. We put up the website for the Cranford Hockey Club. Tell everyone what it is, Mike.
It is a great community-run travel hockey club. It's the oldest travel hockey club in New Jersey. Been around since 1956. We have about 23 travel hockey teams. We have a huge learn-to-play program. What that means is we have about 300 kids, mostly from Union County, but kids from Middlesex and Essex and Somerset and Morris and even Brooklyn and Manhattan. It's great, Staten Island. So it's a great travel club, but it is travel hockey and kids from 8 to 18 years old. And we want them to learn to play hockey, learn to ice skate. And we have kids who are elite players and beginner players and everything in between.
Mary, you know about this, don't you?
Just a little bit.
Tell folks why.
For anybody that has watched this, so my oldest Will started playing hockey. He was so old. He was 6 years old when he started, and we did not realize that he should have started 3 years before. Half joking, as Mike can say to you. So Joey, his brother, started when he was 3 years old. And again, as Mike said, the most important thing is to learn to skate, as they call it. You learn to skate before you even get a stick in your hands. And they played hockey all through, right up until they went off to college, both of them now together on a men's league out of Chelsea Piers.
I love it.
Having a blast. And my husband and I are always watching either on Live Barn, which you can watch online, or we make that trip over the river to watch them play.
That's
so
great.
As I always say, it's the greatest sport on earth.
Is it, Mike?
I think it is. I think, imagine any other sport and then try to do it on ice skates. It's a unique skill set where you have to relearn how to walk again. And that's part of why it's so great for kids. They have a special confidence in being able to do something that's special and unique and different. And when they go to like a family skate for their school when they're in sixth grade and they're the ones who can kind of zip around the ice, all of a sudden, it's a little bit of a special talent that they have. And so it really helps kids develop that confidence, which may all youth sports really do in so many ways. But we think hockey is special and unique in that way.
How old were you when you started skating?
I started skating on ponds when I was a kid, and my high school had a little bit of a club team, and then I went out for the team at Rutgers and realized how much worse I was than everybody else. But I was a football player in high school, so I threw a couple checks, and they said, well, we'll teach him how to skate a little bit better. So I ended up playing there for 4 years, and that was great. But it's a great way to coach and give back and connect with your own kids and so many other kids in the community.
Which is part of the reason why Mary, as a hardcore New Jersey Devils fan that Mary is, that Mike and the Cranford Hockey Club were recognized recently. Tee that up, Mary, the video we're about to see.
Yeah, definitely. So at the Devils games, the Devils do a great job. There's the Devils Youth Organization. They do a great job with sled hockey, and they're always looking to shout out to hockey heroes. Mike was recently just two Saturdays ago as a hometown hockey hero, and just really saluting Mike and the work he's done at the Cranford Hockey Club. So let's take a look.
We are proud to honor Mike Duhaime as the West Campbell's hometown hockey hero. Mike is president of Cranford Hockey Club, the Honolulu C3 Youth Hockey Organization, founded in 1956, plays at Wernicke Sports Center in Rosa, home to one of the largest Devils Nerd Liquor Mafias in the Bicard WJ Marcus Hells in the state. Through Mike's leadership, he has created new scholarship programs, fundraisers, girls hockey teams, and has been instrumental for Wernicke Sports' new ice rate going in 2027. As a thank you for his service to our game, Mike is using a custom Devils jersey and Campbell's hockey band filled with Campbell's Quadros, Devils fans. Let's hear it from Mike and thank him for everything he has done.
Yeah.
First of all, Mike, to you and your team and the club, congratulations. That's first. But here's the other thing I'm curious about. Hockey/youth sports and leadership. This is part of our Lessons in Leadership series. How much of what you and your colleagues at the club coach and teach is about leadership, not just hockey.
So much. We want kids to grow in confidence, and that comes with confidence both on the ice and off the ice, and growing and doing the right thing in the locker room and in the community. A big part of what we do is we have a scholarship program that helps kids play who couldn't afford it otherwise. And we have a Learn to Play program that we run in conjunction with the New Jersey Devils for beginners. And we expect our players to come back and coach that. So these are 5, 6, 7, 8 year old kids learning to play, and we are getting them coached up by kids who are 12, 13, 14 years old. And what we're trying to show them is part of leadership is giving back to your community, being part of something that's bigger than yourself. This is not just about you as an individual. It's about you as a team, but not just your team, your club, your town, your community, your county. And we have a great partnership with Union County. They're helping us build a new ice rink, where they're building a new ice rink that we'll get to play in. And they wouldn't do that if we were not a great part of the community. We're a nonprofit organization. Everybody's a volunteer, but that goes down to the kids. And as they get older and they're in high school and they're still part of our club, they see the adults who are giving of their time. And we're hoping that they grow up in a way where they give back, because that's a big part of being a leader in the community, looking out for someone, you know, other than yourself, other than your own family. How do you be part of something bigger? And we think we're teaching that to the kids from a very young age. And hopefully when they're older, they'll be coaching and doing things like this as well.
As Mary knows, our daughter, Olivia, not a competitive hockey player, but a field hockey player. Yep. Why is it relevant? Disappointment, rejection, losing. It's a game, losing, whatever, not getting on the right. Well, it's not our daughter. It's every kid. How the heck do you coach and teach young kids to deal with disappointment and rejection? By the way, we're taping this right after the NCAA tournament. I'm a big fan of Gino Auriemma. I'm not sure if I'm a fan anymore. That being said, losing, and Connecticut lost the women's championship to South Carolina. Why am I saying this? How you lose, Mike, matters.
It's how you bounce back, and losing with grace and integrity, and teaching kids. And it's hard when they're very little and they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and they work hard and they go to the finals of a league or a tournament and they lose. They're undoubtedly crying in the locker room, or at least some of them are. And you want to pick them up and tell them how proud you are of them, and make sure they know what they've done is special, and that they made it to the finals and they went so far and they're so great, and they come back next year. And, you know, invariably at some point they're going to win, but most of the time they're going to lose those. I mean, tournaments have 4, 6, 8, 10 teams. Only one can win. Leagues have that many. Only one can win. So that's part of what they learn. They get tougher. They steel themselves, but they realize to really then appreciate the joys as well. There's certainly there's no spoiled kids playing sports like this, because you're right. You don't just win because you want to. You have to go out and you have to work hard. And even when you work hard and you go to practice and you do everything right, you still might lose sometimes. And that's just the way things are in life. But the more you learn how to do that, the more you steel yourself, the better off you're going to be when things are really tough, whether that's in school and you get a bad grade in a test and you have to bounce back.
That's right.
Or somebody's not nice to you, a teacher isn't nice to you, whatever. You deal with that. And, you know, those things are going to stick with you throughout your life.
But which is also, Mary, why you're supposed to shake hands after the game last time I checked. Mm-hmm. Mary, pick it up from there. I got a couple minutes with Mike.
Sure, Mike. Talk about the role of coaches as leaders for these young adults, because it really does translate into their parents as being coaches and mentors. We have all seen it. I love it. All the hockey rinks, and Steve, I don't know if they have this too at field hockey, but they have that, these graphics of like the parents that are like fighting in the stands, and the news reports of the parents who are fighting and yelling, the coaches that are screaming at each other. What role do we have?
So far, I haven't seen it, but go ahead.
Oh, it's something. Yeah, we've had fist fights at the rink with our own parents on the same team. I'll put it in perspective. Yeah. So what role do we have as parents, as coaches, to teach our children so this way when they do get into the workplace, when they do go off to college and we are telling them to spread their wings, they need to model our behavior? So talk a little bit about the responsibility that we have as parents and coaches.
You just used the word I was going to say, modeling that behavior. They look to you. Whatever you're doing as their coach is what they think is the right thing to do. So if you're constantly screaming at the referee, if you're cursing at the other coach, they think that's okay. If parents are fighting in the stands, they think that's okay. If you're respectful to the other team, if you're respectful to the other coach, all while you're working hard and trying to win, that's what they'll see. Where is that line? How far? you know, there, you can work hard and you can compete very hard, but you shake hands at the end of the game and you're respectful to your opponent, respectful to the people around you. And if they see you that way, one of the things we're proud of in our club is, you know, many of all our coaches are volunteers. So that means they're all accomplished professionals in their own right in some other way. So they're around people who are doing good things in the community. They're around people who are successful professionally, and we want them to model that. One of the things that I'm so heartened by in our club is I just coached kids from U18. That means under 18 for everybody who's watching. And I coached many of them since they were 8, 9, 10 years old. And so now they've turned to me and asked me to write college, application letters and scholarship application letters. And it just feels great because you know you're having an impact on their life beyond that. And you hear that from their parents, and it makes you feel really good. I think at Cranford Hockey Club, I think we do a great job with that. But so many of the hockey clubs and sports and youth clubs around the state do that, and rec sports certainly around. That's what you see. I think when you want to see like the best of America, the best of New Jersey, like just go to a baseball field on Saturday and look at the people who are volunteering their time to coach. Look at the people who are you know, they spend so much time thinking about kids that are not their own kids and who are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and trying so hard to do that. That's the best of community. That's the best of what we have. People give of their time to help other people's kids.
Mike, you've done an awful lot in the political arena as a consultant and advisor in the corporate arena and communications, marketing, and public relations. But in many ways, the work you're doing at the Cranford Hockey Club may have the greatest impact on so many young people. That's leadership. And also as the CEO of MAD Global Strategy. Mike, thank you, my friend. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate you having me.
You got to stay with us. We'll be right back. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the Northport Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Great drive fuels the leaders of tomorrow and today. Great vision paves the way for a brighter future. Great ambition goes places, moving onward and upward. Great empathy finds strength in kindness and in each other, working together to create something bigger than they ever imagined. Great minds can change the world, and great minds start at Seton Hall.
Lessons in Leadership is pleased to welcome back our good friend Dane Evans, who is Chief Executive Officer of a great company, Skoda Contracting Company. Their website is up. Good to see you, Dane. How you doing, buddy?
Good to see you, Steve. Good to see you, Mary.
Okay, hold on. Before we talk leadership, it's the beginning. We're taping this. The beginning of baseball season. The Yankees have only played a few games. Be seen later. Make a prediction, my friend. You're a Yankee fan. What do you say?
Here.
Yankees.
Let's go. A healthy Yankees team takes home the World Series.
You heard it here first. Well said. Hey, Dane, by the way, describe Skoda. What is it and how did it get to be the great company it is?
Sure. So it's a third generation family-owned utility construction company based here in New Jersey, but serving utility companies throughout the Mid-Atlantic. We serve companies like Elizabethtown Gas, UGI, PSE&G, American Water, Washington Gas down in D.C., and WSSC down there, and other mainly gas and water and a little electric utility companies throughout the Mid-Atlantic.
Dane, you've given us the honor. You've trusted us with the Skoda Leadership Academy. Our company, Stand and Deliver, has been working with Dane and his leadership team on this academy. It's 3 years in, I believe.
Yeah, at least this is the third year.
Yeah. Question. Before we talk about some of the books that have greatly influenced you and why you're a lifelong learner as a leader, why a Škoda Leadership Academy. Isn't leadership devil's advocate? Organic? It's just sort of osmosis, right?
So it's interesting. A few years back, we brought in a consultant, and we really wanted to hone in, what does our ethos look like? What is our business plan, both in terms of the work we're going to do, but how we're going to do it? And one of our core pillars is that we're going to be focused on continuous improvement. So that means that we need to invest in our up-and-coming managers and our senior management, but our up-and-coming managers in a way that's going to enable them to communicate well, to lead well, to develop employees below them, and to solve problems in a way that fits the company that we are. So that's selfless, thoughtful, intentional, all of those kind of things. And when we first started working with Stand and Deliver, it was pretty apparent that this is something that we need generation after generation. Not only are we vetting the ceiling of these middle managers for higher levels throughout the company, but we're giving them the foundation they need to be the kind of leaders that we want. So that's good communicator, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But it's been really helpful. And like you said, we're in our third year, and each year there's been progressions towards the archetype of leader that we want here at Škoda. It's been a really great evolution. We're really happy with the progress.
First of all, thank you for that, Dane, and thank you for the opportunity to work with your team. Mary, what was the most recent book that Dane turned us on to?
Super Communicators. And Dane, let me know if we have this one right. How to Unlock the Secret Language of Connection by Charles Duhigg. I'm going to probably butcher the last name. Yeah. Okay, good. Perfect.
<That's okay>.
And no, absolutely. And if you're watching now, please do yourself a favor. Go to stand-deliver.com. You're going to watch the first interview we did with Dane, where he really talked about that Škoda culture. You just heard him dip his toe in the water right now talking about it. But that's Super Communicators, where really everything falls into that umbrella, and lifelong learning. And talk about what being a super communicator means at Škoda and creating that culture that you were just talking about.
But also what it means to you.
And what it means to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Steve, you and I are both, and Mary, and are lifelong learners. And that means we're constantly reading on things like emotional intelligence and communication and all that.
This book, you recognize this one?
Yes, Extreme Ownership, of course. So I read this book, Super Communicators, and shared it with Steve. I think we were talking over breakfast. And the principles just really resonate with the leadership style that we want, and that's to be really intentional on how we communicate and how we listen. So the book basically explains that there's three different kinds of conversation. There's the emotional conversation. So you're matching your audience in terms of how they're feeling. Are they distressed? Are they excited? And that bridges that kind of like neuroscience gap. How are they feeling? Do they want to be? I use this with my wife sometimes. Do you want to be held, hugged, or heard? Sometimes people don't.
Dane, let me write that down again. Say that again.
Steve really needs this right now.
That's
the emotional conversation. What does this conversation need? Do you just want to be listened to? Do you want to actually be helped? Do you want a tangible solution? Is this just about I'm feeling like, what's the best way? Like, you just need a hug. You just need to feel warm and accepted, and you can be vulnerable, and this is a safe space. The next thing is the social identity. So this is, I find, we have all types of different people, races, religion, political affiliation, all those different types of backgrounds social identities here at Škoda. So having hard conversations doesn't have to be an argument. And Duhigg in his book basically gives you a roadmap for that. So it's, you identify this way. Tell me more about that. You know, you identify as this kind of person. What brought you to gain that identity? Was it your parents? Was it your childhood? Was it something that happened to you that you made you feel really strongly about XYZ thing? And once you establish that, you can build that. Oh, I feel this way about this, and it's a really good way to have constructive especially in the political climate that we live in, where everything is so extreme, having the foundation in a conversation to say, this is your social identity. Tell me more about that. What does that mean to you? What do you do with that? It's just a really good foundation to have difficult talks.
So is there a third level you want to talk about?
It's the emotional, the and that's looping and matching. It's the social identity. So what do you do? Who are you? Let's find out a deeper sense. And then it's the practical mm-hmm. conversation. What is this conversation really about? And that's something when I'm trying to be intentional about being a good listener, that's something that part of the book really resonated with me. It's like, what does this conversation really need? What is this really about? Because a lot of times this sort of fluffy social, small talk really is just scratching at the surface of what the conversation is really about. And finding out, especially if you're meeting with a client or an employee in need that can't maybe articulate what they really want. It might be a client that says, we need professionalism. And that might be just cleaning up after yourself or something totally obscure. Mm-hmm. And you don't really know what that client needs until you figure out what the conversation's really about. Same with your kids or with your spouse or whatever it is.
Let me just follow up on this. I was mentioning books, again, Super Communicators being one. Go on our website right now, stand-liver.com. Our leadership library keeps expanding and changing. But this is one of the first ones that is one of the first books that really impacted me. And it was introduced to us by one of our clients. And ironically, Dana and I were at one of a favorite restaurant for me. And I'll give a shout out to Amy and the team at Toast. They're great entrepreneurs that are expanding all over the state. We're at Toast. We're talking. And I didn't realize that, Dana, you told me that Jocko Willink, who is one of the co-authors of this book, these are two great Navy SEALs, that you went to a seminar. Were you in a seminar that Jocko led?
Yeah, we send 4 to 8 people every year. And I believe we talked about that in the prior interview here on Lessons in Leadership. But we send people every year to his seminars. It's fantastic.
And describe for folks your working definition of extreme ownership.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really looking in the mirror, being extremely introspective about accountability. And that's, what could I have done differently? What can I do to, to mitigate risk or to fix a problem? And it all comes back to you as the leader, whether you're, the most entry-level employee here at Skoda or you're one of the senior managers. Being a good leader means taking accountability, even when it doesn't look like it's your problem. But being a good leader means it is your problem and you're going to help solve it. So I think you're really good about that. Yeah.
It's so hard to say it. Dane lives it. We try to live it. When you tell people, and one of the themes in extreme ownership is the leader of the team, usually the person who gets paid the most and the highest rank, if you will, in an org chart, he or she owns everything in their universe. And people will say, that's ridiculous. Scarlin's behind the camera. I don't own what he does. Elvin's directing the show. Frank's doing the audio. Here's the reality. You own all of it. Why? Because you made decisions to put people in those positions. You own all of it. What are you going to do? Dane, if things went wrong in the Leadership Academy and I say, you know what? Mary screwed up in preparing the material. It's like, what? You own all of it. Easier said than done, right, Mary? And then I'll come back to Mary, everyone says it, hard to live it.
Everyone says it, it's hard to live it. And I do want to pivot from that, though, because everything that you're talking about, to me, also with that extreme ownership, goes to trust. Dane trusts that you will own it on behalf of our team. Dane's team trusts that he is going to do what's best for them, for their families. Again, that Skoda culture. Dane, talk a little bit about what that trust means to you as you're leading the team at Skoda. What does trust and leadership mean to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, just to revert back for a second, I think that with the accountability thing, you as the highest level leader are responsible for every single blade of grass and that your team touches. And if something's getting messed up, maybe you didn't communicate down the chain of command properly. Maybe you didn't put the guardrails in place. Maybe you didn't put a structure or an ecosystem that promotes safety or in this case, you know, like that blade of grass that really matters. So, you know, yes, it's important that our teammates and our employees trust that we're putting them first over anything else. But at the same time, you are responsible to make sure that everyone knows, everyone's rowing in the same direction. Everyone knows what's important. And that trust just, you know, follows suit. When our teammates see that you were taking care of them when they have a sick family member, we're taking care of them when something's wrong with their kid, or they have something they can't miss, like that's where you build the trust. It's easy to, you know, pay someone for a rain day in our, we work in construction, but pay someone for a rain day and expect that, you know, oh, my boss is taking care of me or whatever. But when they're going through a really hard time, and this year we've had a few employees that have had a really hard time, yeah, when you stand up for them and you take care of them, when it's not practical, that's where you build the trust. And those kind of small actions really resonate through the company. So we talked about being a good communicator. We talked about emotional intelligence. All that stuff has a practical application. And if you're not willing to, you know, build that culture, then, you know, you're just never going to have the trust. But yeah, I feel really proud of the way we've taken care of some of our employees this year. And I hope that the people working here see that and they do the same thing. And might not be at Skoda. It might be in their communities or in their families. It's like, when someone really needs you, this is how we take care of them. So I'm proud of that. And I think that's part of the whole trust thing. But it starts with being accountable for how you lead.
Dan, got a minute left. Mayor, we're going to go all the way to, we were going to do some commentary, but it's more important to listen to, more valuable to listen to Dane right now than listen to me pontificate. Got a minute left. How about this? Everything you just said, someone says leadership is not personal. It's just business. It's not true, is it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're just you know, creating a culture of good business people. We're creating a culture of good human beings, and they go hand in hand.
You know, I won't get on my soapbox, but I was just watching the women's, we're taping this right after the NCAA championship, and the women's championship, the UCLA Bruins beat a terrific team at South Carolina. And the coach of the UCLA team was so happy that the team won, but what she said is, we have six seniors graduating. My job was to help them become good people. Good basketball players? Great. Good people. And it sounds like not a big deal. It's a huge deal. And that's what Dane and his team do every day at Skoda. And we are honored, humbled to have the opportunity to work with such a great team and a terrific leader like Dane. Dane, thank you so much for spending so much time with us and offering your perspective. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Nice speaking with you.
For Mary, myself, and our great team at, who are great people at Lessons in Leadership, we thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Vecino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the Northport Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Great drive fuels the leaders of tomorrow and today. Great vision paves the way for a brighter future. Great ambition goes places, moving onward and upward. Great empathy finds strength in kindness and in each other, working together to create something bigger than they ever imagined. Great minds can change the world, and great minds start at Seton Hall.